just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. That wall could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and this is the May 13th, 2010, in pagan time, in the Lord's time. This is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the third month, and the tenth day. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. At the beginning of every one of these offerings, I have a responsibility and duty that I hope is getting through to each of you, that each of you all have a responsibility and duty. And that I shall begin. Father, I praise you and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Father, in my little mind, if today I was facing judgment, and if I was standing in front of your only begotten Son, the Christ, at judgment, and if he were to ask me, Jerry, give me one good reason why you should enter into the kingdom. Right now, today, I would have to stand silent because I have not come up with one single thing that I could, if asked, say, this is the reason I should get into the kingdom. Father, I try all the time in my life to come up with something that I could offer as one good reason that I should be allowed into the kingdom. That is something that I will continue to work all of the rest of my physical life here on this planet to come up with at least one good reason. Not that I would be asked, but Father, that is my motivation, to at least have one thing on my side of the card that says I did one good thing. And today, Father, if there is such a thing as possibly doing something significant, then today, Father, I will offer to those with eyes and ears something that may be significant, that maybe I have done significant. Thank you, Father, and I praise you and bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to start off with a little bit of, thanks and praise to another man. I was sent a package, and I just got it yesterday, from a man named James from Redlands, California. He didn't even give me his last name on this. And he talked to me on the phone, and I didn't write it down because I really can't write everybody's names and phone numbers down. I rely on the people to call me and talk about it. This guy is amazing. I want to read this one sentence to you. Enclosed, you will find heirloom seeds from my garden, some carrots, beets, parsnips, and Swiss chard. Please enjoy the bounty from my harvest. James, I will enjoy them, and, Monday or Tuesday, I've got some space in my garden still, a lot of space, and I'm going to plant some of your heirloom seeds. Thank you so much. And James, you'll have to give me a call. He's working on this course, and he went to some basic definitions on resident, inhabitant, and person, and people. And James, you're on the right path, and you're getting it down pretty good. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you sending that to me, James. That was very nice and very unexpected. And, you know, you sent me an awful lot of carrots. I'm going to have to eat a lot of carrots this year. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to get on to something in Chapter 4, Part B. Chapter 4 is entitled An Arrow in Flight, Straight Down the Middle, Shortest Distance Between Two Points, a Straight Line. Part B is entitled Something Simple. And here's what the title is. To ask a question and listen to the answer. Very important. If you ask a question, you got to listen to the answer. Okay, now, if I have ever done anything significant in my life, this Chapter 4, Part B, could be something, maybe, that somebody would say, I did something significant. You need to go to freedom-school.com, go to the link to my name, Jerry F. Kirk, and then pull up this course. There's no way with the amount of paperwork that is being put out per item on a weekly basis that I can read over all of this material if I went as fast as I could read and talk and get it out. So while you're maybe pulling up your computers to Chapter 4, Part B, I'd also like to mention that as of 4 days ago, I think it was, James down at Freedom School, excuse me, he put a link to the Lloyd Long case, and he has a link to where each of you can go read all of the 4 inches of paperwork of the Lloyd Long transcript. People say, 4 inches of paper? Folks, this is very important, and it's actually double-spaced in the transcript in the court, so, you know, probably is 2.5 inches if it was a regular tie, and it's big print. But it's one of the most amazing cases when you will, if you will sit down and read all of the testimony of Mr. Long. It will tell you the A, B, C, D, how to win. He went in front of a jury. The jury found him not guilty on all charges about the IRS. It's there. I don't have a computer. And you can find it. I guarantee you that James wouldn't tell me that there's a link to the Lloyd Long transcript if it wasn't there. And you may not know exactly how to use your computer that way, but you can find somebody that will help you. Okay? Okay. We're going to get back to this Chapter 4, Part B. And I'm going to start out with a quote. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper wheresoever thou goest. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Now, the part says that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. That seems like a pretty good deal to me. How about you? Most people seem to like to prosper. Here's another quote. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. The verse right in front of the one I just gave you, you know, out of order. Now, this is the Lord speaking. So, what we're talking about here, when it says inheritance of the land, is the subject of this particular course. And it's very important. People talk about real estate taxes, property taxes. They talk about, well, allodial title and all these other types of terms, and they've sold all kinds of books and they make all kinds of money. I don't sell anything. I don't charge anything. And you can't send me a monetary donation. And please don't send me any more carrots for seeds, because James taken care of me for probably a couple of years. Tons of carrot seeds. I love carrots, and, you know, my ground's a little hard here, but, you know, some of the short ones, they go to the horses, you know. I love carrots. They're great. Okay. So we're going to be talking about land. Now let's think about what happens in our society. A man and a woman, they marry. They buy a house or they build a house on some land. they live and they work in that land and in that home for 50 years or longer. They think of their what they're called good citizens. They pay their real estate taxes for all those years, 50, 60 years. Then something happens. Maybe they get sick, or maybe they were invested in something and they don't have any money. And now all of a sudden, they can't pay their real estate taxes, and they're kicked off of their land because they can't pay their real estate taxes. Well, they didn't have any land. They were only renting. But is it even in anybody's imagination fair to say, you, this is your land, but you got to pay the government, and if you don't pay, we're kicking you off? It's not fair. Everybody knows that. But most people won't do a damn thing about it. Or they'll sell you a course that's full of poppycock. Really, we should be saying cow manure. Or we should be saying horse manure. Because that's what those courses are in. Or, you know, everyone I've ever read. So how did we get ourselves in this problem? Well, we got ourselves in this problem because we weren't keeping the Father's law. Now, I'm going to sort of digress. Not going to go right into what I did. I'm going to give you some background now. Prior to the 1930s, when an individual bought something called dirt, which you may call land, a land deed was issued to the buyer. Now, when the corporate federal government went bankrupt, it also caused the individual states to go bankrupt in the 30s. And those individual states had to reincorporate. And so they had to have a way to get some more money. So they began to issue something called a warranty deed. Now, prior to the 30s, you can go back to your county recorder's office and you can look at deeds that were issued and they said land deed. And then during the 30s, various states at different times, they started issuing warranty deeds. That meant that the state would warrant your deed. Now, when the state did that, that then became a benefit for you. Instead of you defending your land from all takers, the state now was involved in this, we're going to keep the record and we're going to take care of you. There's a price to be paid. Now, that's the basic simple thing of how we got into this. Now, there's more details than that, but that's, you go look it up. Go take some time, go look at what the deed said. Now, in some history of my particular life, in 1981, I became aware of some dirt, could be land and not real estate. Now, I actually was aware of this particular dirt or land since the time I was about 7 or 8 years old. But I was not privy to the law and the details and all that kind of material till 1981. At that particular time, this dirt was told to me that I was going to get it and that I'd be in charge of it and I could do what I wanted with it and I'd make the decision. So formally, by 1984, it was put into what we would call a Kennedy Rockefeller Trust, one of those really neat ones where you don't have to pay any taxes and all that kind of good stuff on your assets in the trust, which I don't have any trust anymore, folks, except in the Lord. But this is one of the corporate type of deals you can do. And there are, you know, various types of trusts. Now, anyway, this land was listed in Dade County, Florida, as indeterminate. And because it was listed as indeterminate, there were no real estate taxes. Now, in the course, I give you the legal description. I tell you about Dade County, Florida. And you can go check down there, and you can find that this particular section of land, actually it was more than a section of land, and it was waterfront, oceanfront, was listed as indeterminate. And you can go check the records, and there were no real estate taxes. Now, if there had been any real estate taxes, my family and the other families that were involved in this, we wouldn't have had the money to pay their taxes as an oceanfront land. So I was aware that it's possible to have land without real estate taxes. And I was aware, you know, very quickly after 1981 as to the methodology of how to go about getting some dirt that is not real estate. When you look at your bill that's sent to you once a year, if you have, you know, a bill on your land, on the envelope it'll say property taxes. And everybody says, see, I've got property. Now, you ain't got property. It says property taxes on the envelope. When you look at the bill says real estate taxes. It does not say land. It doesn't say property. Property is defined as the ability to own something exclusively, to do what you want with it, to buy it, to sell it, to use it, whatever you want to do, to control it. Your bill says real estate taxes. You don't have land and you don't have property. And this is a misnomer. People all the time mix up these words. You don't have land and you don't have property. You've got real estate dirt that somebody else owns. Excuse me. Now, if I have ever done anything significant in my life, I had decided that I was going to get something what people have referred to as allodial title, but somebody referred to as true land, not having to pay taxes. So in 2007, I finally got to where I thought I had the wherewithal to begin to do this. And bearing in mind, I've been studying this for a long time and had been aware since 1992 that eventually I was going to have some real land, some dirt that was not owned by the government. So I got started. Now, there's a lot of pieces of paper in here. And you're going to see where I have to, where I go through a process of getting the county to determine and tell me how many acres that they have in the county, how much the debt is in the county. And then I go through a process of finding out the percentage of the debt that was associated with my acres. Now, there's pages of this, and you have to read it and follow it. It's not that hard. And then you will see where I sent payment for my percentage of the debt to the county. There was debt on my county. I had to get rid of that debt on my county. There's no way I could go forward when you're in debt and ignore that debt. In addition, if you carefully study this stuff, you will find that they bill people in the arrears for your real estate taxes, so that you always have money owed. Well, I went down through a process and paid them where I was not in the arrears, so that when I transferred this to the Lord, there wouldn't be in the arrears. In other words, there wouldn't be debt there. Now, these guys played some games, and they delayed accepting the money. Now, however, it was offered to them, and they refused, and I've got those records. Pretty simple. You're going to have to read through this and, you know, keep on going through the paperwork and study it and take your time. So I arrived at something that I was going to do, and I sat down on my typewriter and I got ready to start typing a deed. And then all of a sudden, it wouldn't come out of me. I couldn't type. Nothing. It wasn't working. I mean, I wasn't even able to type one word. And I sat here at my desk for like 7 or 8 minutes. I said, what's the matter, Jerry? And the question was asked. And then I said, well, you've missed something in the Word of God. I actually listened to myself. What's the matter? What have you done wrong? And I opened my Bible and almost instanter. I mean, it was like one page off. And I turned, you know, just one more page over, and I was at Leviticus 25:23. And I quote, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. So I ask you, each of you that are listening with eyes and ears, to walk around for the next couple days, the next couple weeks, or the next couple months. And I want you to ask people, strangers, acquaintances, friends, family. Ask them, who owns the air? Who owns the water? Who owns the planet? Who owns the universe? Now, I had done this for years and years, and without exception, every single individual told me, God owns it. Of course, they should have been saying the Father, or they should have been saying the Christ, but they said, God owns it. And, you know, I said, Jerry, you weren't listening to the answer that everybody was telling you for years. And then you open the book and it says, for the land is mine. This is the Lord speaking. This is the Christ speaking. He owns the land. I had a deed that said I owned the land. I was in error. And if you've got a deed that says you own the land, you are violating the Father's law. You're violating his instructions. You're violating his word. Okay, wow. Wow, how about that? You got a penalty when you violate the Father's law. It's called real estate taxes. You don't pay them, they take everything you got. He's a very just creator. He has laws and, you know, hey, you do what he says, you get good prosperous times, you violate what he says, and you get these penalties. He doesn't negotiate with you either. So, within just a couple minutes, I then went and I said, look at this, Leviticus 27:28. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, that's land, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Now, actually, folks, there's another verse in front of that that talks about devoted things right there in Leviticus. You might want to read that. Now, I'm not really sure of what it means when it says, every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Now, what is most holy unto the Lord? I don't know exactly what that means. But you know what? It sounds pretty good to me. If he thinks it's holy, then golly, that's pretty good for me. And so I dropped my arrogance. I dropped my ignorance. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And then I just sat down at my typewriter and it just, boom, came right out. I couldn't believe it. I'm going to read part of this, In Truth, Devoted Land Deed. That's what I titled it, In Truth, Devoted Land Deed. Be it known to all men, governments, and or commercial entities, and or to their agents, as it is known to the Father in heaven, and his only begotten Son, the Christ, that I, Jerry F. Kirk, a male individual in past era, does on this 12th day of December 2007, do hereby convey to the Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, the Christ, for the consideration, if possible, and if acceptable, to forgive Jerry F. Kirk's arrogance and ignorance of claiming land which always belongs to the Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, the Christ. Thus, the land described below is returned to the Father as it always should be. And then I go into just a straight legal description. Further, all that is upon the land or below the land or above the land belong to the Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, the Christ, and all is subject to his will and none others. Guess what, folks? That stick that's laying out in my backyard belongs to him, too. This telephone I'm talking on, it belongs to them, too. I deeded everything to them. The Word of God says I can deed everything. I can devote everything to him. Of all that a man has, everything I have, my glasses got on my head, my wristwatch on my left arm, I gave them all to the Lord. I challenge you. I challenge everybody in this entire country. I challenge everybody in the world. Find a deed like this right now. Now, I'm positive this was done in the past, but I haven't been able to find any record of anybody that's done this today in our current society. I challenge you to come back into compliance with the Father's law. Have the guts, both men and women, to say to hell with the government, to hell with the Canaanites. I will go back to the Father's law, and I will devote my land. Of course, listen to the other offerings of where you need to be. In the mountains. You can see on this, this is on page 10, this is a photocopy. You can see this is recorded with the circuit court, the clerk of the court, excuse me, and the ex officio recorder for the county. And you can see where it's recorded. I'm not playing any games, and anybody can see it. And you can verify this. You can come to my county and go down there and go look at it if you don't believe that this is a proper, you know, photocopy. We're approaching the end of the first half hour, and I'm supposed to say this is Jerry Kirk, this is the gathering offering, and that this is the 19th of 26, weeks of an offering. And you can get this material at freedom-school.com. I do want to give another big shout out. I don't do it often enough to James down there in Austin, Texas, who does all this work, not for me, but for all of you for free. He doesn't charge anything at his website. Now, there's a lot of other material there. I don't have a computer, and I don't endorse or disendorse that. And I'm trying to say that because people call me up and they start talking about stuff that I've never seen. But James puts all this stuff out there so that you can take a look at it. It would be a real nice thing. I can't accept a monetary donation. James can accept a monetary donation to offset his electric and his server costs. He doesn't look for a donation to offset his time or anything, but it would be nice if any of y'all felt like sending me $5 or $10. And, you know, I hate to belabor that, but, you know, the man could use, you know, $5 or $10 once in a while from somebody. And, you know, I hope you would please consider that at freedom-school.com. After we get through the break, at the bottom of the half hour, we're going to continue on some of this paperwork. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. And we're going to explore this. And then you're going to have something that you can actually do to take away the god of the Canaanites, the god of the Babylonians. It's called money. And when you do something like this, devoted land deed, guess what else happens? You now don't have any fear in you, because now this where I am, this dirt belongs to the Lord, officially, unequivocally, and publicly. I have published the gospel in writing. Be back at the end in a few minutes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Problems just the toy balloon, they'll be bursting soon, they're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's 3 DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, when I say ladies and gentlemen, I should say to those ladies and gentlemen with eyes and ears that are in the process of opening. And that is happening all across this country and all across this, you know, planet. People are starting to wake up and realize we are in the very latter days. And that's why they have an itch. That's why they're trying to figure out how to do something. That's why they're so concerned and they're being torn because they hear about this, they hear about that, and most of the time you hear about yin-yangs that go out there that have never done anything, and they're talking about theory, and they're selling you a book, and they're a patriot for profit, and they make me sick. I'm tired of people violating the Father's law, where the Christ says, freely you have received, and freely you shall give. That's one of the ways we understand, and then you say, well, show me what you've done, and not what you're talking about, but what you've done, what you've got accomplished. That's the guide that I look for when I'm looking for help from somebody. Now, one other piece of sort of like house cleaning here a little bit. Normally, after today's verbal lesson, there is material put up for next Thursday. There's been a couple of occasions where I was late getting it down to James. James has never been late, but I've been late getting it down there to him. But normally it's put up on Friday. There will be no material put up for this coming Thursday until next Friday, because next week I want people to hear the verbal before you see the paper. Sensible. So I haven't said anything to James, and I haven't even called him and told him, but I know he listens to every one of these, and he'll understand. He'll say, uh-oh, Jerry's doing one of these weird things here again. Yeah, I want to do this a verbal before you get a chance to read it. And then you will then be able to, probably next Friday, be able to read the material for next Thursday. That should let you know that something different is going to happen, I think. More about that at the very end of this last half hour. Okay. Now, I do these things because I'm ordered to by the Father's law. And I'm trying to be an attempting servant. I have not claimed the status of servant, and I have not claimed the status of observant. Someday I would like to be able to have the status of an observant, but I'm certainly not there yet. I'm still in the attempting category. I'm working on things. I got a few more things to do when this 26-week course is over. Now, the main thing, though, is that I found out these are like orders, but I love it. I actually have a ball doing this. I mean, I really do. I get a kick out of it. It blows my skirt up. So we're going to continue on this. So anyway, I turned in this deed, and these guys, they're getting all wacky, and all they're telling me all this stuff and various things. They're saying things like, well, you know, we can't send a bill to God. I said, you mean you'd really send a bill to God? And they said, well, we don't have his signature on a piece of paper. We can't communicate, talk to him. We don't know where to talk to him. And I said, well, go in front of a jury and tell the 12-man jury you can't talk to God. They get a little frustrated talking with me, and I have a fun, you know, doing that stuff. You'll look on page 11, and they said, well, you got to turn in a property exemption application. And talks about, you know, it's a public property or church or cemetery school building and all this garbage. And I'm not about to fill out one of their forms, so on page 12, you can see how I changed it. I get a kick at somehow these words come out of my mouth or my typewriter, and I put a statement on this on page 12. Statement, I, Jerry F. Kirk, have no authority to request an exemption for the Father and thee Christ. Only a fool would think that the Father and thee Christ would need an exemption from man or man's government. And I pray for mercy for any man or government, etc., which tries to demand anything from the Father and the Christ or denies the Father's laws. This paper is only for the edification as to the status of said land. I get a kick out of it. I don't know how those words come out of me. They tell you on the page 11 that you got to, you know, sign this thing. There's got to be an affirmation on it to be valid. So, you know, I said, okay, let's do an affirmation. Under the penalties of the Father's law, commandment, Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And I bring to bear witness of the heaven and earth, the universe, and all which may deny and oppose the law of the Father and the Christ shall surely face eternal judgment. And I sign it, Jerry F. Kirk, April 29, 2009, an attempting servant of the Lord. And I'm required in Ezekiel chapter 33 to warn the wicked. How would you like to get a piece of paper that says, all which may deny and oppose the law of the Father and the Christ shall surely face eternal judgment? I didn't say whether it's positive or negative. That was for them to figure it out. You'll find some more papers that have come through on this thing. And you will see where I send things to these people by certified return receipt. Now, people, I may not have made this clear to people in the past. You must send your paperwork by certified return receipt. You must type out the certification number on your letter, and you must send them a photocopy. That way there's evidence that, you know, you still got your original, and the photocopy is the proof that you put your certification number. If you just put a stamp on this thing, or any of this other stuff. Excuse me. You have no way of proving that you ever sent it. They just get it and throw it in the garbage. If you have a certified number and a return receipt, you've got proof, because the return receipt also tells you that it was delivered on such and such a day and time. Now, when you start going through this paperwork, you're just going to be, this stuff here is nothing that you need that I need to go over and visit with you. This is, anybody can read it and study it. But if you just say, oh, well, quick look at this, quick look at that, you're not going to get it. You've got to go through it. You've got to read it. You've got to study. Now, however, let me point something out to you. I forgot to send about five more pages in this particular exercise. It will get down there, and it will be posted under this Part B, Chapter 4. And I was right there on my desk, and why, in other words, I just left it over in one spot, and I did not put it in my pile to send down to freedom-school.com. But anyway, I'll get it down there, and I'm going to go over this a little bit, you know, verbally with you guys. And it's very important to know some history. You aren't looking at this, but this is a publication. You can go to your local newspaper, and you will see that they put out legal notices all the time. Now, I'm going to give you some history. In World War II, my dad came home unexpectedly. He was in the Air Force, and he found a problem in his home. And so he went to a lawyer, and he said, I've got to get a divorce. The lawyer wanted $50. My dad wasn't a lawyer at that time. My dad said he didn't have 50 bucks, and on top of it, 50 bucks was too much to pay to get a divorce. So my dad went to a law library, and he sat down, and he read, and he studied for about 6 or 7 hours, he told me. And he typed up some paperwork, and he published the paperwork, and he recorded it in his county, and he got his divorce for $15 all total. And that included the publishment and the recording in the county. My dad was very pleased with the fact that he got his divorce for a $35 saving. You got to remember, in 1943, the money was worth a lot more than it is today. And he was very pleased to find out he got his divorce done very, very quickly, and it was not drug out over the course of weeks and maybe even months and maybe even a year or so. It was over and done. So, bearing in mind that I had learned that lesson many, many years ago, and that, you know, there are certain subjects where, you know, I want to get these guys in an old-fashioned way, I did a lawful notice. Under the legal notice sections, I did a lawful notice published the 30th day of July 2009. I didn't say it was a legal notice, and my paperwork says it's a lawful notice. And it starts out, as it is known to the Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, the Christ, be it known to all men, commercial entities, agents, and governments of man or Satan. Wow. How about that? That's a little strong to put in your local newspaper. And the locals around here said, oh, Jerry's up to something again. That on or about December 12, 2007, Babylonian time, Jerry F. Kirk did, in fact, transfer all ownership in land described as, and put the land there, and then to the Father in heaven, his only begotten Son. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand, this, as far as I know, has never been done in the United States. I challenge anybody to find this, and I challenge any court to come after me. I challenge them to come after me, because I'm going to stand squarely behind my master, the Christ. I'm going to stand behind his laws. And wherever the chips fall, that's exactly where they'll fall. And then the thing says, further, all that is upon the land or below the land or is above the land belong to the Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, the Christ, and is subject to his will and none others. published, ladies and gentlemen. I'm publishing the gospel. The Christ told us to publish the gospel. That wasn't the King James Bible. He said to put it in writing how you live. Let everybody else know. This transfer was by a lawful, in truth, devoted land deed, such and such a day and time. Any agents in government of man or Satan which want to contest this lawful transfer must file a complaint within 30 days of this publication to Jerry Kirk. Wow. Any man, commercial entity, agents and or government of man and or Satan which may want to contest this lawful transfer must file a complaint within 30 days of this publication too. Guess what? And I get my eight-line address, but they couldn't fit it all in, so they stretched it out a little bit. Guess what? No one complained. Not a single individual complained. But I even went a step further. I sent a certified return receipt to the tax assessor of my county, to the tax collector, which is the sheriff, and I sent a certified return receipt to Governor Beebe, the governor of Arkansas. Wow. How much chance do they think they really have in a courtroom? I don't think they've got diddly. Let's look at one other little verbiage that I think is kind of fun. And I do this because I have fun. Failure to file and state an objectionable claim will foreclose and terminate all the whining and crying of Babylon and all other actions to eliminate said lawful transfer. So anybody that complains, they're going to have to admit that they're a Babylon and that they're whining and crying. I've already called them out. Identified. You want to complain, you're part of Babylon. And you're whining and crying. The power of the Lord, I don't have any power. The power of the Lord is supreme. Screw you, Babylon. This is Jerry Francis Kirk, and I say, screw you, Babylon. And I stand where I stand. I stand straight behind the Christ, and I want each of you. Now, I'm saying this so each of y'all can get some attitude. Get an attitude to say no to the Canaanites. Say no to the corporation. Say no to these people that evict people out of their homes. That'll be up for you to look at in about 5 or 6 days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever seen in the newspaper when people all through this country, the legal notices of how they publish, you have to respond within so many days, we're foreclosing this house, and if you don't foreclose, bingo. What do you think I've just done? Or did back a few years ago? Year and a half ago, whatever it was. I foreclosed them. You have the same ability, ladies and gentlemen, but you have to go under the Father's law. You can't just say it, you've got to live it. You can't just say, I'll pick and choose and I'll do this one and the other one I'll ignore. Now, there are some things that you may not have the wherewithal to do right now today. And, you know, there's things that I don't have the wherewithal to do right now today, but I'm working on them. And when you take the first step and you get that achieved, you don't really have to tell anybody else. You'll know it inside your heart. You'll pick up and you'll feel better. You'll feel stronger. You'll say, I know now I'm on the right path. And when you do the second thing and the third thing, you will start to, if you will, like glow. And when people walk by you, they'll kind of look at you. And they'll know that you're different. Peculiar. They'll know that you're publishing the gospel by your actions of your life. This is what makes you have fun. At least I have a ball doing it. And how some of these words come out on my typewriter, I guess it's because I'm getting some help. I don't know that to be true. I've never seen a burning bush. I don't know that I've ever... No, there's no one ever come down and said, hey, Jerry, you're an anointed one. No. I just read and I study and I keep working and I say, look, what's right and what's wrong? Obviously, the Father's law is correct. I'm going to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that if in Arkansas 10 more individuals would do what I've done, the fear that we'd go into the corporate government? Do you realize if 500 people, 10 from each state in this landmass called the United States, did what I've done? Do you realize the vibration of fear that would be shaking in Washington, D.C.? What do you think would happen to Rothschild with these big international bankers? They would say, oh, my God, the children are awakening. Our time is about over. The Christ will be here soon. The Christ is waiting for us to stand up, ladies and gentlemen. You want the Master to come back? You want a proper life? You stand up. That is how we will throw off the Canaanites, off of our backs, from sucking our blood, from taking our blood. That's our money, our sweat, our tears, and our labor. And they take that money to buy war materials. And with those war materials, they force us to offer our sons by fire to Moloch. Didn't anybody pick that up in your reading of the Bible? That's what it means. When your sons and daughters are sent off to do economic wars, that's what's happening. That's what you're doing. You and I was doing it. I'm not doing it now. I was paying to have children murdered. My children, thank God, didn't go into the military. But I was paying to have other people's children get murdered and have those children murder other people for economic gain. The day and the time is over. It's up to you to stand up. I challenge you. Look at this devoted land deed. I can't tell you it's significant, but if I have done anything significant, I say, Washington, D.C., my name is Jerry Francis Kirk, and go screw yourself. I make no bones about it. You are my enemy when you try to take our children and offer them to the fire of Moloch. You are in opposition to the Father's laws. You are my enemy. Anybody that is Antichrist is my enemy. I do not believe in the enemy of my enemy as my friend. No. Anybody that is in accordance with the Father's laws or wants to be in accordance with the Father's laws, that is my friend. That is who I will die for. That is who I will stand up for, and I will say I will defend you to the best of my ability. We are in the nonviolent stage right now, ladies and gentlemen. Anarchy will come to this land within a few years. Not because of what I do, but because of what the Canaanites will do to us. Next week, we're going to be doing a verbal. This verbal is going to be very controversial for a lot of people. It's going to make 99 out of 100 people want to hate me. I know this material. I knew it in 1991 and three quarters, and it was so traumatic to me that I begged the Lord to kill me. I spent 3 days and three nights in tears, boo-hooing like a baby. And I'm not a guy that cries, okay? I hadn't really cried but twice as an adult before that time. And that was because of somebody else's pain that they had, not my pain. And I begged the Lord to kill me. I had hot sweats, cold sweats. I was nauseous. I never get nauseous. And I begged him to kill me. And I begged him and I begged him. And then finally it came clear to me that he wasn't going to kill me, and I had to get up off of my whining and my crying and me being a big baby, and I had to take it on, I'd take a subject on. And so next week, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have an opportunity to hear what was so traumatic to me. So if it's a little bit traumatic to you, okay, I know what you're talking about. It ripped my guts out. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you'll call your friends and neighbors. I don't want to have just, you know, a few thousand people upset with me, I'd like to have a few million upset with me. Because out of them millions, if millions would listen, those with eyes and ears, they will get it. They will understand it. And the people that have gotten this over the last 18, 19 years that I visited with, they've all told me, Jerry, now I understand what's going on, of how they've done it to us. And I go, yeah, I understand it too now they've done it to us. And this is the basic method of deception. It is very traumatic, and I've spent more time talking about a coming week offering than I've usually ever have in the past. You really need to call your friends. You got to call your associates. And, you know, call after you listen to next Thursday and after you download the material next Friday, you need to send this in to other people. And put my name on it so they'll get mad, want to tar and feather and hang and kill me. You don't have to put your name on it. But they're going to be pissed off about this. And I know that people get pissed off about this. I don't care. I am here for only one reason, and that is to expose the truth as the way I've found it. And I can tell you the people that have found and heard what next week's lesson is, it's changed their lives. And they've been vocal to me. I've watched other grown men go grab a tree and fall down on the ground and start boo-hooing, snotting, and crying. Grown men, I've watched that happen to me. I mean, to them. I've watched that. And I know what they go through. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the gathering offering. My name is Jerry Kirk. We're approaching toward 7 more lessons for the end of this course. I want to thank each of you all that have stayed with it. I know a lot of people have, you know, got in for 5-6 weeks and quit. But those that have stayed with it, you're the real troopers. And I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. And I know those with eyes and ears will constantly offer praise and blessings to the Father in heaven and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We do not offer those praise, that praise and that blessing, we have nothing going for us. Take care and have a great day. Thank you. Would be a crime.
Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.